Hello, this is Tom Williams, and you are listening to Talk Theater in Chicago's interview podcast. Our special guest this week is the Chicago performer who is one of the stars of the hit Broadway show A Color Purple, which will be opening in Chicago in April of 2007. Hello, Felicia Fields.
Hello, how are you?
Great. Tell us about The Color Purple.
Okay, Color Purple is a phenomenal piece of musical theater that is about heart. It's about soul. It has a journey that spans for someone of any age. It really is a show that gets an emotional charge going for anybody who sits in the theater. I keep saying that it is an experience in theater like none other, where most theater pieces you go and experience, you come out entertained. When you come out of there, your life has changed.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a life-changing experience.
Well, I remember the film. I consider it one of the great films of all time.
Yes.
And the book. I read the book, and it's one of my favorite pieces.
Yes, and this is much more based on the book than on the film.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So it does differ.
Yes.
And you play Sophia, right?
Yes.
Tell us about Sophia.
Oh, Sophia. She's a strong-willed woman who is older than Harpo and is in love with Harpo. But Harpo is taking advice from his father on that old-fashioned way of treating women. And as a result of that, he gets physically brought down. He gets brought down physically because Sophia does not take that. And he raises his
hands. That was the role that originated by
Oprah Winfrey.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
And
right.
You have the big song in that act one, right? The Hell No at
the
dinner.
Yeah, that's that big song that it's become like a woman's anthem. So it is really a powerful, powerful piece of theater.
Wow.
Yeah.
And tell us how you got cast in the show.
Well, I happen to know Gary Griffin, who is been directing here for many years, and I was doing Carousel at the Marriott Lincolnshire.
I remember seeing that production.
Yes, and when, you know, we have a tech day, we get our costumes on for the first time, and I walked past the mirror and I said, oh my God, I look like Oprah Winfrey in The Color Purple. So I went limping down the aisle, and I went, you told Harpo to beat me. And he says, well, if I ever do the musical The Color Purple, I already have Sophia.
You're kidding.
And you wouldn't
wow.
believe it. It was a couple months later, and he calls. He says, you're not going to believe this, but I have been commissioned to direct the musical The Color Purple.
Terrific story.
Yeah.
So your eyes lit up when you...
Oh, my God, you're kidding. And we did the first workshop here in Chicago down at the Fine Arts Building. And I've been on board ever since.
Wow.
Yeah.
After being such a journeyman, let's talk about your career. You are one of those examples of the working Chicago actors.
Wow.
who I've seen you in many shows. You played Ella Fitzgerald in the Jammin' with the Pops.
Yes, right? At the Apple Tree Theater.
Yeah, I remember that. That was terrific. And I remember you in the Hot Mikado. And you're going to laugh. You remember that scene when Robbie Lehman broke you up?
Yes.
Yeah, I saw that at Marriott, and that was fabulous.
He's a crazy man, that Robbie Lehman, and who could not be on stage with him and not fall apart?
And you fought him, too, and it became actually a part of the show.
Yes, yes.
And then I saw you in Queenie in Showboat.
Yes.
Was that
Drury Lane, Oakbrook.
Okay, Drury Lane, Oakbrook. Ma Rainey's Black Bottom.
Yes, down here at the Goodman Theater.
Okay. Ain't Misbehaving. You've done that several times.
I've done several productions of that. One was at Apple Tree and at the Drury Lane South, which is on 95th.
Yeah, it was. Shame. It was a terrific place.
Yes.
A lot of great shows there. And you played Dolly Levi in Hello, Dolly.
Yes, that was one of my Gary Griffin specials right there. Yeah, Gary had me playing Dolly.
That had to be fun.
It was great.
Because that's a great part.
It is. It's so lively and upbeat. And
Gary is the kind of director, he's not afraid to take chances.
This is how I've managed to work all these years here because he knows no boundaries. He can, I can actually say that he does colorblind casting and he takes chances. He doesn't want to be your typical director. And he succeeded in that as far as I'm concerned.
Yes, yes. I think he's, and it's a shame. The show Color Purple got a lot of recognition, but yeah. I felt so bad. You were nominated for Best Supporting Actress
yes.
in a Musical. That had to be great.
That was amazing because you, you know, you go to New York for your first production, and the thing of it is that it, you have a comfort zone at home because you worked for so long.
Yeah, and everyone and knows
everyone,
you.
You have subscribers that know you. Mm-hmm. And so when you go out of that element, you think to yourself, am I going to be able to sustain this kind of recognition? And you go there, and then they open their arms and embrace you. And you walk away with the Tony nomination. I have a Drama League Theater World Award, Clarence DeWitt Award, and two Broadway.com. So
wow,
yeah,
not too bad,
not shabby.
tell us about some of the difference in preparing for a show like Color Purple and you know, 8 performances a week in a you know major venue versus doing you know show at Marriott or at Drury Lane.
To me, it's no difference. I mean, really, your mission is whether they're 2 people or 2,000 people to take people on a journey. You have to study, you have to bounce off of your cast members, and you have to bear down and get the best out of what you can bring forth. It really doesn't make any difference to me where it is. It is definitely, I mean, the stakes are higher on Broadway because there are people that come from all over the world to see it. But as a person that's studying to be a part of a show, I want it to be the best it can be. I don't care where it is.
That's a great attitude. Because I know some people think that doing Chicago theater or doing a show here that they don't have to expend the same amount of energy.
No. And I want people to walk out, you know, with the transformation from whatever part. Doesn't matter what part it is, whatever part I play.
The role you play in this show is extremely emotional.
Yes.
How do you sustain it 8 shows a week?
The lucky thing for me is that I can identify with the character quite a bit. There are different, you know, things about the character that make it easy for me to slide into the characterization of what's going on. I think the hardest for me may be the jail scene. Of course, Gary says that's my finest scene because I don't talk in that scene. But it even when if my thought about a man hitting me and my reaction as Felicia makes it very easy to do it as Sophia.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Because this would truly be honestly my response.
Okay.
Okay.
And the advance for the Chicago. You're going to be in the Chicago production.
Oh, yeah. I'm coming home.
Yeah, that's got to be great. I have heard that the advance sales, because the show's opening in April of 2007,
mm-hmm.
the advance sales have been fantastic.
Yeah. This is a very popular piece of musical theater. When I go to work in New York, they're around the block. On a matinee
right?
day, there are busloads and busloads of people coming in. They will come drive in for one day and drive right back. They'll fly in for one day and fly back out.
That's fantastic.
It is.
So we think that the Chicago folks better get on board.
Oh, my
Go to the
goodness,
Broadway Chicago
yeah.
website and get tickets, right?
Yes, and it definitely will be worth your while. If you wanted to get it as a gift for any occasion, it is definitely something, because I hear this so much at the backstage door. This is my birthday, and this is the first time I've ever had the experience of going to theater. And
so
oh
you're
my
bringing,
God.
You're attracting new people into theater. Boy,
new
that's what we need.
It is.
Wicked has been doing that here in Chicago,
yes.
and everyone believes that Color Purple will do the same. So they better get on board so they don't
oh,
have to wait
yeah.
6 months for a ticket.
Oh, yeah, you better get your ticket.
But I did not realize that. So you're drawing much more than a New York audience then.
Oh, God. You know? I was like at the backstage door one day and I came out and the guy said, oh, my God, I saw you on Oprah. And I went and got my tickets right away. I came from Australia.
Wow.
I'm like, are you kidding me? And he said, no, we flew here from Australia. We'll be here 2 days and we're flying back.
That's a terrific story.
Isn't it great?
Now, let me ask, you did meet Oprah, correct?
Oh, yeah.
What was her advice or reaction? I mean, you were playing the role.
Oprah, you react to Oprah. You kind of like, true. Oh, my God, it's the O, you know. But she likes to surprise people. And so she came to one of the run-throughs. And you can only imagine that when I looked up and saw it was her, my mouth just kind of flew open and it didn't shut for a few minutes. I was screaming and hollering. The dancers were jumping around, and then it hit me. I'm the only dummy in here that's playing her role. What am I so excited about? But she was so warm and embracing and a cheerleader. And hell no, because the first time I said hell no, she jumped to her feet.
Is that right?
And started screaming, yeah.
That's amazing reaction, because she's the kind of lady that if she didn't like what you did, she would have told
you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's
you
gotta make
want
you feel
to
good.
Do justice to a role that is identified. You know, she is identified with Oprah Winfrey.
Yeah, but in the musical, you're the one that's identified with
that's
the role.
True.
So
that's
how,
true.
How does that... How do you feel the responsibility of that? You created the role. You set the benchmark for Sophia.
This particular piece holds such a great responsibility because, and I didn't figure it out until after we were running, because I have so many people come to you, and you have so many people come to you, women, and they're crying because they've been abused. And physically, you know, they've been attacked and emotionally attacked for whatever reasons. And they come out crying and they come out saying that this has shown them to get a backbone.
Wow. So it's much
more
than
it's become a lot more heavier than I ever imagined. It is a great weight and responsibility.
Do you feel that with the audiences?
Yes. Yes, the first time I say hell no, they kind of like scream, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, it is something. Some nights, I mean, and it varies. This is not the kind of typical theater that you come to and you just sit and listen. There is activity in that audience, and people are talking back to you, and they're laughing uproariously when they're appropriate places, and there is no night that you don't stand on that passerelle and people are not crying. And I mean men, too.
Well, that's the mark of great theater.
Yes.
That it could reach into your soul like that.
Yes, yes. And they
of
don't
course,
care.
You got some great up-tempo numbers. There's some big dance numbers
yes,
in the show.
Yes, there is. Push the Button. Yeah, that's the Shug Avery in the Juke Joint.
In the Juke Joint, yeah.
Yeah.
Are you in that? You're in that.
No, number. No, no. I come into the Juke Joint, but only to knock out the new girlfriend.
Oh, okay. Well, getting back to more of your career here in Chicago. At Drury Lane, Evergreen Park, you were in Sophisticated Ladies and
yeah.
got Best Actress, got the Jeff Award.
Yeah, Mark Robin put me in that musical. Actually, I had been slated to do something else, and it got canceled. And that was at Drury Lane Oakbrook. And when he found out that I was available, he graciously got another contract together to put me on board. I was doing a children's show for him during the day, and then we came to sign contracts, and he surprised me and pulled that one out. And then I got a Jefferson Award.
That's a fabulous part.
Too. Yeah, it is. It is. It's the Phyllis Hyman role. Yeah.
And musically, that's some brilliant work.
It is. It is.
You also did Bloody Marys in South Pacific.
Another Gary Griffin vision. I never watching that as a kid thought for 1 minute I would be playing that role. But as I say, Gary has no restriction on his vision.
And that's there's a couple of big songs in.
Oh yeah.
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 Happy Talk. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you did Nellie Fowler in Carousel too.
Yes. Yes, You'll Never Walk Alone.
Yeah. That is a big big show. So, you said that Color Purple is a little different than the movie.
Yes.
Can you be a little more specific? What can we anticipate when we come see the show?
In doing this piece, there's no possible way, of course, if it's a movie, that you can do it exactly
yeah,
the right. same way. The liberties that you can do, you know, in film that you just can't do live. Along with the fact that it is a musical, so there are things that have to be changed so that the music can come through.
Right.
And so there, you have a team of music writers, Allie Willis, Stephen Bray, Brenda Russell, who are not musical theater savvy.
Okay.
And they have taken this music score to a whole different level. And it changes. What has happened is it's a lot of the words from maybe the movie or the book have been incorporated in song.
In song.
Yes.
And I would imagine, I haven't heard the whole score. I've heard parts of it. You have, what, gospel,
it's a gospel
jazz,
flavor. It's a jazz.
What's the flavor?
Yes, and a fusion of a lot of, and then there's musical theater also. Yes.
And there's some big up-tempo dance numbers,
yes,
too, right?
Yes, and they have, in the production in New York, they have some brilliant, brilliant dancers in Africa that defy the laws of gravity. Because they flip in the air, and I wonder, do they have bones some days,
oh,
you know?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. It is a spectacle all within itself, but nothing distracts you from the story.
Yeah, the story is quite powerful.
You know, and that's Gary Griffin's mark. He is definitely... Because I remember doing Carousel, and I think we started off with like four or five horses, and before it was over, it was just one horse in the middle of the stage, because he doesn't want you to be overwhelmed by set pieces and things that will distract you from him telling the story.
So this is a play, that musical, that the story stands out.
Exactly.
And it's a lesson for women can relate to it.
Oh, but, yes.
Yeah.
And there are so many various parts of the journey, from the abuse of old Mr. to Mr. to Mr.'s son, Harpo. It is really equipped for men as well as women, that you can walk out of there and learn something about how not to be or how to be.
Yeah, that's kind of what I got out of the film.
Yes.
I have not seen the show, and I just cannot wait. It's going to open here in Chicago in April, I believe, April 17th.
Yes.
And the buzz and anticipation on this show has already been building up.
Oh, wow.
And I've been told that the churches are buying up tickets by the busload are going
right,
to be coming
right.
down. So
yeah.
I have a feeling that you're going to draw more than just the Chicago crowd. I think it's going to be
a
Midwest
show. Yeah, there are
people
from the, yes, yeah. from the Midwest. Even in New York, there are people saying they're coming back. I'm from Ohio. You know, I'm from St. Louis, and I'm coming back when it comes to Chicago.
This is be a journey home for you, right?
Oh, God, yes.
You are looking forward to it.
I am looking. There's no place like home. Dorothy said it, and it's so true.
But how would you compare your New York experience with the Chicago experience? I'll put you on the spot.
Well, Chicago is home.
Okay.
So, you know, when you're in an environment of home, you're comfortable. You know, it's such a great place to live and clean. And if you don't think about that, go to New York and stay for a week.
Okay.
And there's no place better to go and eat, and it is.
How about audience? How different are the audiences?
The audiences in New York are definitely audiences that come for theater. But it's not because they come from New York. It's because they come from all over the world.
Yeah, it's becoming kind of a tourist attraction.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
They come because they are theater conscious and savvy enough to say, I want to see five shows while I'm there.
That's exactly
they
what
come
I do
with
when
the
I go to
yes.
New York. Yes.
They have a determination to come and see nothing but shows. You know, where a lot of times when you're at home, you take for granted, you know, your accessibility to good theater. So we don't have, we're having new people come to the theater, but I would love to see more people at home here.
Well, that's what I'm understanding is happening. It happened with Wicked, brought in the young female girls
mm-hmm.
to theater and other people too.
Yes.
But I mean that hit that area and they're now starting to see other shows.
Yes,
I think Color Purple is going to do that here in Chicago too.
I
think
you're right.
It's bringing people into theater. It will bring people in who don't normally go to
right,
theater.
Right, exactly, and it will bring them into the fold and say, I'm coming back to theater. Because I saw Wicked when I first got to New York. It's an amazing piece of theater. I don't get a chance to go to see shows very often because I'm working. So
it's a good reason not to see the other ones.
But it was really, really a wonderful experience. And I hope that when people come to see The Color Purple, they will feel the same way that I felt. You know, because I think theater should be life-changing.
Well, do you remember when Broadway in Chicago did that promotion a few months back? I believe you were...
Over at the Cadillac.
Palace. Did you believe how many people were there?
It was amazing to me because I was like, oh, my God.
Just for our listeners, generally when they do these promotions, there's maybe 50, 100 people, sometimes 200.
No, that place was...
It was like 2,000.
Yeah.
And the advanced, I forget how many million dollars worth of tickets they sold. I didn't know get the final number, but... And that was a year ahead of time.
Yeah.
You've got to be that excited.
Yeah, it is. And it's well worth it. I don't usually say this if I don't think it's true. But it is truly a piece of theater that's well worth coming to see.
And how long do you plan on being in the show?
Well, they've asked me to be in it quite a long time, but I think that my character shouldn't be wheeled in.
But so, that begs that question of how do you sustain? It's one thing to sustain it over, you know, 8 shows in a week, mm-hmm, and 2 or 3 months, but how do you sustain it over a long period of time, like a year or two?
Yeah, and it's, you know, I have never missed a show since November 1st, because I'm from the old school of theater.
You're from the Chicago school of theater, yeah. People don't miss
it. I don't get a cold and not come to work. I come to work, and especially in New York, because that's what I'm there for. And so it is something to get yourself going every day, to do every week, to do 8 shows. But there's something about this show that when you hear, because I never look in the house, but I can hear the energy and feel the energy of the house, and it keeps you going. It keeps you going. Because these people are coming because you can hear that they want to enjoy the show.
Yeah, I've been in audiences like that. Yeah.
Yes.
And I can imagine how much stronger it is from the other end of the stage.
Yeah. It's something that I've never experienced before.
Well, going back into a little bit of your history, I know you haven't, but tell us some of the shows you are proudest. How you got your start. Let me go with that question.
Oh, actually, this is a good question. I was at church, actually, and at Antioch in Roseland. No, in Inglewood, I'm sorry. Antioch in Inglewood. And there, at that time, my pastor, his name was Wilbur Daniel. He was on the board, and Fred Rice was the police.
Yeah, I remember. Sure, he's the police superintendent.
Yes. So this gentleman, Bill Geller, his wife writes music. She wrote Christmas Schooner, the music for Christmas Schooner, and Stones.
Talking about Julie Shannon?
Julie Shannon.
I know Julie and John Rieger.
And John Rieger wrote the book for Stones.
Right.
So they had come to the church and they needed somebody that was inexpensive that they could put demo stuff on their seat. Well, at that time it was a tape. And so they asked me, would I mind coming out to their house? They had a little studio. I said, no. So we went there and I sang. And they had a gentleman playing the piano. His name was Rufus Hill. And Rufus was playing, and they thought about it, and they said, they're having auditions for The Wiz at the Marriott Lincolnshire. You really should go and audition. I thought about it, and I did.
But you had not had a musical background other than singing in church?
That's it.
That's fabulous.
That's it. And I got my start.
I know that John had told me that, that you did a demo for.
Yes, I did a lot of demos for Julie. Okay. Julie, and that Stones project was the project that kept me, you know, going with them.
And then when you went to the audition, you got the part?
Yeah.
And then what? And it just one part after
another. And one part after another just started falling into place. Yeah.
And you had no acting training?
No. I started getting classes after.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, talk about a natural.
Oh, wow.
That is fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, I did not know that story.
Okay. See?
And tell us some of the roles now in Chicago that you were the proudest of. That you like to do, you know, that you were.
I, of course, love Catashaw. Yeah, okay. I love Catashaw. And the Amen Corner was a piece that I did at the Goodman Theater that I really, really enjoyed doing. And Ma Rainey's Black Bottom.
That's a great piece. Yeah.
And it was a great piece of work to just be able to bust in, you know, and you know, kind of shake up the whole event of what was going on.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Those have got to be fun roles to do.
Yes, yes. I'd love to do Dolly again at some point in time because I think I'm a little more seasoned now to do it.
Well, I remember Pearl Bailey. I did not see you do it. I remember seeing Pearl Bailey do it, and it was fabulous.
Yes.
And I was one of those that said that I thought she did a better job than Carol Channing because Carol Channing sort of made a career out of it.
Yes, yes.
And it was refreshing. So you'd like to do that again.
I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't mind taking another stab.
Well,
that.
Producers out there, and after 2 or 3 years of Color Purple, that might be a nice different role.
It would be. It would be. April 17th.
And just to summarize it, you're recommending that people get tickets pretty soon.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. That's what I'm hearing, too.
And we're hoping that it'll get so much play here that it'll stay as long as Wicked.
You know, Spelling Bee's done well. Wicked has done very well here. And everybody's believing that the Color Purple will do well here. And that'll help establish Chicago theater as being a valid place for permanent sit-down shows.
I don't really know why people have to do that, but because it certainly is a theater place, you know. It's good to have the knowledge that I would like to share the knowledge that this particular piece, because I think people think because it is set up as an all-African-American cast that, you know, people are apprehensive about going, feeling that they don't identify with it the same way. And the thing is about this piece is that it is not color-specific. It is definitely an emotional journey anybody.
I agree. Every time I see it, it really affects me. Yeah.
It does not circle in on any particular color. It is something that anybody will enjoy.
And all races and ethnic groups have had the similar problems. I mean, the Europeans, that was a mentality to beat wives and women for centuries.
And
still is in some cultures.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so I think one of the great things that shows like Color Purple will do, and I'm sure you know Jackie Taylor.
Yeah, yeah.
The Black Ensemble.
She's seen the show.
Yeah, and she told me it was fabulous.
Yeah, she came out
and saw
the show.
But between Color Purple and people like Jackie Taylor, the African Americans are starting to really come out to theater. Because I know you know the folks from Congo Square.
Yes.
And their stuff is terrific, too.
Yes.
So, but I think Color Purple is going to lead the charge. I really do.
I hope so.
You're looking forward to coming home. I can see it in your eyes.
I am so looking forward to coming home. Nothing against New York.
But it's great to come home in a triumphant, in a tremendous show.
Yes.
We are so looking forward to this. And folks, get out and go to the Broadway in Chicago website and start ordering your tickets.
Yes,
and get the
indeed.
Groups to go. Because otherwise they're going to get shut out.
That's,
I mean, it
that's
advances
very true.
That story.
Yes.
Well, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
It is so great to see one of the truly great divas of Chicago theater coming home in a great vehicle.
Thank you.
I just cannot wait to see this show.
I can't wait till you come.
All right, thank you.
I can't wait till you come. And even, I mean, Chris Jones and Hedy Weiss, they have flown out to see the New York production, so they'll have something to compare it to.
Well, and Chris saw the Atlanta production. Remember, when he came back?
He's been very supportive. Yes. He has been right there, and we are very happy about that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think people are going to embrace. I think this will be fun. And,
yes.
And folks, get out to see.
Come on,
the show.
Come on.
Yeah. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.